away we go. It is a Getaway Friday morning, Friday, November the 3rd, 2023. 15 and a half minutes past the hour. You are tuned in to Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. This show can be heard live every Friday morning, 9:15 to 10 a.m. Repeated Sunday mornings, 8:15 until 9 a.m. And also repeated on Wednesday and Thursday, 3:15 until 4 p.m. You can get archived episodes of the show on the website, WWGH1071.com. Under Program Archives, it's the first show under there. And don't forget, usually within the day, within 24 hours, it is put on Facebook, so you can catch the link there and listen to the show. And we're glad you do listen to the show. So glad to have in studio here a first time, first day we've been here, first day he's been here, Pastor Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Scott?
Doing great. And we're off and running in a new place.
We are, and I like this.
I like this. It's like radio studios are supposed to be.
Well, I don't know. Right now, you know, you're a little bit close to me. I just scoot back a little.
This was actually, it's funny.
How cozy.
It's funny you mention this, that we are, for people who have never been to the studio, we're sitting a lot closer now because we're all sitting at the same table, which is usually how radio is done. But we had always done it to fill up the big rooms. We'd put two tables together.
Right.
So you were sitting so far from the person.
I think this makes for a better...
It's more intimate.
Back and forth.
I think so. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's nice in here. I really like it. I'm very, very pleased.
Good.
When I got your message where you were, I thought, aha, this is great. But anyway, it's great to be here today. Been a busy week for me. A busy week for everyone. Just seems, why we talk about this busy thing. If you go back and look at the archives, I would be willing to bet that if you ask anybody how they're doing, and especially my shows, if you look at them, one of the first things I lead off with is, man, I've been busy. But, you know, it just seems like it doesn't slow down.
You know, but I've thought about this, too, because I do the same thing. And I think people were probably always that way. People probably have always been that way in their working years. I think, like my mother, who I recently said just retired this year, and she waited well past the retirement age to retire, and she worked 40 hours all her life. And she was always busy, always busy, always busy. Now, I think she needs a part-time job.
I would agree with that. I think that we're designed by God to be busy. Scripture is full of the fact that we need to work, we need to be productive, we need to make good use of our time. Have you ever noticed that, I know me personally, and I'm sure I'm not different than anyone else, if I'm not busy, I have a tendency to get lazy. And I noticed that with retirement, a lot of times when people go to retire, if they just sit around, which is tempting to do, if your income's set, you don't have to be anywhere, and you've got 164,000 stations that you can watch on TV or on the internet, you have a tendency just to want to sit. And that's when you see a lot of people, health issues really go downhill. How many people, you know, within 5 years of retirement start seeing real bad health issues that maybe they wouldn't have if they didn't retire?
Well, that's a good point. And I think a lot of it is, doctors tell you it, television tells you it, radio tells you it, newspapers tell you, magazines, that if you are not moving, things are going to happen. And just by, no matter what job you have, even if it's a desk job, you're getting up, you're getting a shower 5 days a week.
Absolutely.
You're getting in the car, you're driving there, you're walking in the building. You know, this is important stuff.
You know, something I wonder, I'm sure you're aware that you know, the commercial real estate market's in real trouble right now. And one of the main reasons being that during COVID, companies found out that I don't have to pay for a workspace and people can work from home. And now so many people that normally went to an office every day are either working from home several days a week or completely working from home. And I would be interesting to see in the next few years if we start seeing health issues as repercussions from that.
Well, I talked to a mental health expert, psychiatrist, not too long ago, and he said, it took long enough for me to get there. He told me that this is going to be one and has already started to become one of the biggest problems for people who already were not leaving the house, and it's going to turn into physical. It's mental right now.
It's mental for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. People just don't want to go.
No.
And they get sedentary and their weight goes up. And, it just does. And then you get bored. What happens? You know what happens when I'm bored? Refrigerator.
Eat.
Yeah, that's what I do. When I'm bored, I eat. When I'm anxious, I eat. So that's what kind of happens. I'm sure that I'm not the only one like that. So it's interesting to see what I think is with everything, though. You have to discipline yourself to do something. Like when you take a break at home, like you normally take a break at work, set up breaks at home, and maybe walk around the block or at lunchtime. You know, do something so that you're not so. But it's it's like everything else. It's just so easy to be just sedentary. You know, Scott, we talk a lot about, maybe I do, or I bring it up a lot about, and I know that young people just hate to hear about the good old days. But one of the things that I was thinking about the other day, I had a lady call me from the name just slipped my mind. Anyway, it's a project out there where they put wreaths on veterans' graves. And they had called me yesterday for some sponsorship, and she had been calling around, and it's a great program. What they do is they pick a day, and they have a memorial service at different cemeteries. And if for those that sponsor in that area, they will lay wreaths on the graves of the veterans. Now, they can't always do them all the first year. Like, for instance, in Prospect, we got close to 500 veterans in the cemetery. That would be an expensive undertaking. But to kick it off, several of us, I'm sure, we'll get a good a lot of them done this year. But it's real interesting that we are seeing less and less people go to cemeteries, pay attention to the past, be concerned about the past, understand the pride that we should have as Americans in the past. I think it's very hard when one of the things that has constantly come up through our educational system in the last many years is America shame. Does that make sense? And while all cultures have things in their past, there's certainly things that every country can be ashamed, say, maybe that was a wrong move here or there. But by and large, America has always been, as I've said many times, the first country in when there's anything that goes wrong in the world. We're always the first country in. We're always the last country out. We're always in natural disasters, whatever it is, we're the first country and the last country out. And not just our government, but more so, even much more so than the government, our citizens and groups within different groups, churches are primary in this, that they do that. You know, World Vision is huge. All these organizations that go in and help the needy, help the poor, help the starving, help the uneducated, help those that can't get medical care. I think we have a lot to be proud of in this country. We truly do. But what we have to start doing, I think, and give me your thoughts on this, we have to start at some point recognizing that we are a moral people. We are a people that has always stood on our moral principles. I know the minute you say that, though, in today's culture, everyone immediately goes back to our years of slavery. And to set the record somewhat straight on that, I didn't live back then. You know, we only know what we've learned and what we've studied and what we see. And one thing we do know that slavery was such a common practice everywhere back then. The whole world, it was slavery. Did it make it right? I don't think slavery's ever been right. Anytime you put another human into bondage, I don't think it's right. And I think most would agree with me. But what we see is when we have a mindset that goes a certain direction, you know, all the Germans weren't wicked people, but they turned a blind eye to what went on at Auschwitz. They turned a blind eye to what they were doing with the Jews. And believe me, I don't want to hear they didn't know. They had to know. You know, this wasn't the Stone Age.
Well, you know, that's a topic where we get in trouble, too, here in America, because we lay on that sometimes, too. We didn't know.
No,
okay.
We knew.
Yeah. And so, were we the first ones into that? No, we weren't.
One thing I would like to say, though, about slavery is that we did have a huge contingency in our government that didn't want anything to do with it. And, of course, it led to the Civil War. It really did. And so many thousands and thousands of Americans lost their lives fighting for those freedoms. And, of course, even after the war, excuse me, I'm a little congested this morning, even after you know, the Emancipation Proclamation was made, there were still those that want to take advantage and that still want to keep things the status quo. You know, no matter what laws are changed, there's always, we can make 1,000 laws right now about human trafficking. There's still going to be those that are trying to swing around it and do it. And that I might kind of parallel that a little bit to how many years it took for actual freedoms to be realized and not just on a piece of paper. Does that make sense?
Well, it's interesting that this conversation's coming up today, serendipitous, because yesterday I was having a conversation with somebody about the two extremes in America, and I think it's because we have two extremes about the history of this country is why there is still question about, is this a good country? Is this the whatever it is? And the one extreme is that nothing is good, nothing works right, we're a mess, and it's constant criticism, and we should be blamed for all everything that happened in the past today. And I'm not saying that's right, but then the other side is the side that everything we do is good. They wear the American flag clothing all the time. America first, America's best, and that puts off people in a way because people go, okay, well, I'm glad to be here. We have a democracy. I like it. It's great. But sometimes we didn't get it exactly right.
We got to be realists. Yeah. We got to be realists. I'm one. You know, I proudly fly the flag in front of my house. I'm a very proud American because America more than any other country in the world has been a true land of opportunity. There are more people that have literally come from nothing that have made themselves something through this country and the freedoms that it offers versus countries if they'd have been born, they'd have never had that opportunity because they'd be set into a class system. But do we make mistakes and have we? Absolutely. You know, I'll proudly say this about America is that it took us a very short time from our Constitution to our Emancipation Proclamation, as far as history goes, was a short period of time where we turned and went to a bloody war over it. Whereas some countries just the slavery just went on and on and on. I think there were enough moral people in this country that said, you know what, this isn't right. And even, you know, obviously, if people know that you're from the South, oh, obviously you supported slavery. You were, you know, most people in the South couldn't even afford to own a slave if they could buy one, and that you know, it wasn't. I wish that we would be honest with how it truly was. There were horrible people out there that did horrible abuses to slaves, and they did. You know, they split up families. They forced mates. They did all kinds of evil things. And then there were those people that, as you know, that treated them like family and even made them part of the family, so to speak. So I think that what we need to do is we need to recognize in this country that we've made mistakes. We've made some grave mistakes. But look, we've always been a country that eventually figures out how to get it right because there's enough decent people. You know, we were founded on solid Judeo-Christian values, and if you look at those values, just because someone says they adopt them and they're part of them doesn't mean they live them. It's just kind of like the person that will call themselves a Christian based on some loose definition of what a Christian is. But they really don't know Christ, and they really don't desire to live and as he did and live for him. So we're going to have that in this country, too, where there's people that say, you know, I always get a kick out of people that say I'm a proud American, and they fly the flag, and they'll have something, even a tattoo on their shoulder. But they're not supporting their family. They're not holding a job. That's not a proud American. No. You know, I don't know what that is. That's just something that you decide to identify with.
You know, so on the slavery issue, though, I had an interesting conversation, and I believe it was a sociologist one time. And I found this fascinating because they said that if there's a traumatic event, like slavery was for people, a generation has to pass before that can be forgotten. And on the issue of slavery, I don't think there are any people who were enslaved alive. I don't think there are any slave owners that are still alive.
Yeah, that'd be kind of hard.
Yeah, but I think the problem is why it still exists is we didn't have the Voting Rights Act till the 60s. We had separate but equal in the school, separate drinking fountains, separate bathrooms, separate restaurants in the 50s, 60s. And those people are still alive.
Some of those are still alive. I mean, they're getting thinner. But, you know, I will say this at the same time, that it took a long time for the South to begin to heal. And we didn't have that in the North.
No.
We didn't have anything separate. We had in the South, but it's when you get a mindset ingrained in people, and their mindset was, and I'm sorry, but this is the truth, their mindset was that they were subpar people. You know, even if they recognized they were people, which some didn't even do that, even if they recognized they were people, they were just down here and they're not quite, you know, as intelligent as us and as clean as us. I mean, what in the world are you going to what's going to hurt you from someone using the same drinking fountain? I mean, please, you know. But
separate
it was,
schools,
but yeah,
restaurants.
But it was silliness. But think about this today. We have a situation in this country where we abhor slavery and everything about it, right? Isn't that what we say? I heard something shocking on the news the other night. They were talking. Every 40 seconds, a person is trafficked in human slavery. Every 40 seconds. That's in this country. That's what's going on here now. You know, I shared the last couple of weeks about the $6.5 million facility they're building in what did I say? It was Holmes County?
I think so.
By Millersburg.
Yeah.
Right outside of Millersburg. To help and rehabilitate and get people back, their lives back, teenagers that have been human trafficked. This is 2023, and we need to build a facility like that to take care of people that are being trafficked. I mean, and you know, look at slavery and the abuse that it was. The average young lady that's taken in to human trafficking in the form of prostitution lives the remainder of her years in the backseat of a car. That's just the honest truth. They're kept in a car. They're taken to the bathroom if they need to go. They're fed in the car. They get them addicted to drugs, so they won't leave. I mean, they know that's the only way they're going to get the drugs is to stay there. And for what few years they have left, it may be a year, it may be two or three, they live that in the back seat of a car being abused and abused and abused. That's going on in the United States of America. And yet, we are focusing on every other thing and pointing fingers at things that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, rather than what's going on right now. And quite frankly, I look at the vote that's coming up on the constitutional amendment, and I think that we have always held life very precious. And with the recent advances in science and the recent advances in understanding the embryo and actually knowing how early a child has a developing brain, a bone structure, how early they have a heartbeat, how early they respond, all those things, there's no argument that this is a living, growing person inside someone. But yet we have come to a place in our country where it's okay to take that life because our life needs to be better. Let me ask a question. How different is that than saying, it's okay to take that slave because they'll make my life better? I mean, there's no question scientifically anymore where a child is and how we can be on the edge of passing a law that will allow a child to be aborted right up to birth is beyond me. Because here's the thing, Scott. Even if you say, I don't want this child, I decided, you know, it's going to be a financial burden, it's going to destroy my life, it's going to mentally ruin me, and by those parameters, you can, under this law, you can clearly have that child aborted. Why would you have it aborted when it can be adopted?
Well, it's interesting because you cannot help but walk into a conversation about this right now, certainly in Ohio with what we've got going on Tuesday being on the ballot. And I have had so many, I'm not talking on the air conversations, I've had private conversations with people.
No, we all
and it's going to drive this vote on Tuesday. I bet if not over 20,000 in Marion County, close to it, in an election year where we should have about 5,000 people voting. I'm glad that people are going to turn out, but that's what's driving this bus. And the thing about abortion is this, which is fascinating to me in a certain way, that what I hear, because that's what I want to hear what other people have to say, and what I hear generally about this issue is why people feel it's going to pass with over 60% of the vote, and the polls can be wrong, but I think it's going to pass about in that margin on Monday if things go the way they go, or Tuesday. The deal with that is that less in Ohio, it might even be less than this, but nationally, less than 10% of the population has abortions. It's very, very low. Right. Might even be lower than 5. But what people don't like is people trying to tell them what to do. The majority of people, 99% of the people who will vote yes on this on Monday will never get an abortion.
Okay, so, okay, let's look at that reasoning. First of all, I will say this, that, okay, we're back in 1865. I don't like anyone telling me I can't own a slave because that's my business, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing to them, and nobody should tell me what to do. Where's the child's choice in this? Where's the child's choice of being taken, their life being taken? I don't get that. You know, one argument, though, I think that if it passes, my thing is the biggest thing driving it, to be honest, is all the advertising talking about, you know, there's no room for rape and incest. Okay, so sometimes we have compromises. We come to compromises. We say, okay, let's revisit this in a different way. Let's revisit this in a different way. But to pass a law just to get that provision in that's going to allow for something so grotesque as this law will put into our Constitution, which is entirely barbaric and by anyone's standards, I don't care how liberal you are, that's barbaric, just to get that provision in, why aren't they coming back with something that says, okay, why didn't they come forward with something that said, okay, we want a constitutional amendment that is going to allow it in the state of Ohio for the cases of rape and incest or the health of the mother, period, and to a certain point.
Well,
I think they didn't do that.
And I think it's because of what we've talked about. People don't like being told what to do, but also there has, ever since Roe versus Wade was overturned just about a year and a half ago, there have been some very bad decisions, I believe, made on behalf of people who are pro-life. Number one, when Roe versus Wade got overturned, all of those judges, when they were being questioned, were questioned about Roe versus Wade, all the new judges, and they said, case precedent, case precedent. But when it came time to it, they didn't vote case precedent. Number two was, well, we're going to throw it to the states. Well, that's what's happening here. They're throwing it to the state. And then our state, to preemptively try to stop it from happening, from our own Secretary of State's mouth, said, this is about abortion. We're having a special election in August. I think that ticked people off.
I'll be honest with you. I think that most people have forgotten that vote in August already. I mean, I really do. I don't think this is about that vote in August. I think that part of the problem with that vote in August was that it was, at that moment, precipitated because they knew what this was coming. See, yeah. They knew this was coming.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that did make it about abortion.
Right.
I mean, they knew this was coming and said, you know what, we can't have half the counties getting this on the ballot. We can't have something that takes such a slim margin to pass on the ballot. We need to get something out there that makes it 60% and makes it all 80 counties have to sign to get it on the ballot. So at least it's more difficult, and it's a true majority if this is what people really want done. So yeah, at that point it did make it about abortion, but it didn't just make it about abortion. It made it about anything that's going to come up down the line. To say that it was just about abortion is really narrow-minded.
Well, it was also very interesting to me because I often wondered this about Ohio being a very, I don't want to call it a conservative state because we do vote for Democrats and we do vote for Republicans. Right now it just seems like a conservative state. But our legislature and our governor have both been Republican big majorities, not small majorities, big majorities in this last year and a half. And our governor right now is on all these ads saying he's against issue one, he's against issue one. Well, if you wanted this provision, as you just said, if you wanted that law, when Roe versus Wade was overturned, what they could have done, the legislator could have got together, and I would think this Republican legislature would have been all in on this, they could have passed that legislation. And I'm sure the governor would have signed off on it and not veto. Well, allegedly, with what he says.
Honestly, there's no question whatsoever that the Republicans messed up in this one big time.
And I think that was another part of it.
Well, they did, but what I'm saying is, even with all that going on, it's not driving what's going on now. What's driving what's going on now are the commercials of saying that, you know, people can't get health care if they've had a miscarriage, which is a bald-faced lie.
Well, right, but I guess...
And people say, wait a minute, this is crazy. You can't get health care if you have a miscarriage? Wait a minute, what about the... You know, I think what's driving this is a huge grassroots effort and ads and advertising.
I guess what... Because I've said this 1,000 times since I knew this was going to happen. I am shocked, because even when Roe versus Wade was overturned, I never thought it would be put up to a popular vote in a state. I never dreamed that would happen, because I thought the moment Roe versus Wade was overturned, that state legislatures would get together, and they would come up with some, in a maybe more liberal state, they would come up with different rules. I never dreamed they would sit on their hands for a year and a half until somebody got a petition together to put it on the ballot. That's why I say I think that's what's driving it. It's not necessarily these missteps that were made in words, but where in the world has the legislature, the governor, where has anybody been prior to that gaining enough signatures to be on the ballot, which didn't happen until August?
I think because they... Now, we can sit here and talk about mistakes of politicians all day long and how they mishandle things. That's a pretty given. I mean, it really is. But I guess to go back to where I was with this whole conversation, where it began with, is my bigger question is, where are we in America to where people say, I'm going to vote to pass something to put into our state constitution that will allow an 8-month-old baby to be aborted? Where are we in this country morally? And you can't, Scott, give me an argument that that's not barbaric.
What will you say if, when we get here next Friday, if it does pass with over 60%, a huge majority?
What will I say?
Yeah. Because basically the question is this being barbaric? How have we gotten to a place where we are going to vote this in as a population? What the polls are saying, and again, polls can be wrong, they're saying that it's going to be voted in overwhelmingly by the population. And I have to believe that that is both sides of the aisle. You can't get anything in any state over 60% of the vote.
So what will I say?
Well, if it passes over 60%. If it's close, that's one thing.
I'll say if it passes for 90%. I'll say the same thing. What I'll say is that, one, we have become a very, very, very narcissistic society that puts my wants above everything else, regardless of how barbaric it may be. My wants come first. You know, one of the arguments is that someone that holds my position doesn't care about the rape and incest. First of all, the rape and incest part of abortions are probably 1.001%, if that.
Yeah, small.
Very, very small. But what I'm saying is this, that I have heard interviews, I have heard people, and I'm not just saying this works for everyone, so please don't say I'm blanketing this, but it never even comes up, that many times, as hard as it is to carry that child, knowing that it wasn't, you know, by the best form of conception, many times when women have gone ahead and carried the child and put it up for adoption, they've healed far quicker than somebody that let the life go. And that's never even considered in counseling them when it immediately is, okay, we need to get rid of this. Okay, let's not forget it's a life. Let's not forget that as bad as it was, the conception happened. This is still a life. And wouldn't it be neat, in a way, even if you don't have any control of what happens to that child, that maybe that child that was brought about in such horrible circumstances ended up having a wonderful life and being and having a wonderful, successful life. And you can always hold that hope in your heart that something good out of came out of something bad. When you end that life, you've already made the decision that it's bad, everything was bad, right up to the end, it bad, bad, bad. Do you kind of see where I'm at with that? Now, I'm not saying that it will work all the time, but what I'm saying is this, is that, you know, there are some things that make it hard. But we have to look at what this actually says. And what this law actually says is what it says. And there's no way in this country that a decent, moral, loving people can barbarically dismember a child that's full term in a woman's womb. And this will open the door and allow it completely. It'll allow the funding of it. So what will I say? I will say, oh my word, how did this country get to this point? And what I will say is that, you know what? This doesn't change me at all. I'm never going to have an abortion. I'm never going to advocate for it. There will be people that even, no matter what the law says, that people will say, you know what, I can't do that. Just like during slavery, there were people that said, that's horrible and I can't do that. And they're the ones that eventually had things turned around.
John Adams being one of them.
John Adams, but what I'm saying is, even if this passes, there will be millions and millions of people that say, I can't even stomach this, I can't go down that road. And that's wonderful that there's still those people there. You know what? The other people, I hope they can live with their decision. And it's a sad thing. If the South would have won when we were at odds in the Civil War, if the South would have won, slavery would have continued. The slave states would have multiplied, and the people in the North, we would have been completely separated. They'd have had no voice. And what's going to happen in this election is that if the people that are for this, if it passes, the other group will no longer have a voice. It's done with. Once it's in our state constitution, there's no more debate. And I think the groups that came in to do this, why is it there's so much out-of-state money being poured into this? Why is it there's so many outside, that people even out of our country are pouring into this to have a vote? One, because it's going to take a huge taxpayer dollar to make all this stuff legal. And don't be fooled by the amount of things sometimes that money drives to, because money drives a lot. And the abortion clinics have taken a huge hit in the last couple of years, and this is going to blow the doors wide open. You know, all those doctors that were prevented from, there were some doctors out there that all they did was late-term abortions. They were considered Joseph Mendel's practically, but the truth, they're going to be back in full swing and applauded for it. And how can we call ourselves a decent moral people and say we've got to right the wrongs for our past when we're repeating it? Because I'll tell you something, that do you know that over 75% of the abortions are black babies? Why?
Well, that leads me back to the original question here. Was Roe versus Wade overturning that now a mistake with what's happening now?
Was Roe versus Wade a mistake?
Overturning it.
No, I think that what happened was, you say that, you know, precedent, precedent, precedent. What they realized was, and they know for a long time, that they got what their precedent was. They got their precedent wrong, and that it should have been a state's issue, and that's why they didn't make abortion illegal when they did that. They said, no, this isn't going to be federal. We're turning it back to the states. And I'm a huge person when it comes to states' rights. I really am. I think that if you've traveled the country much, you understand regionally we're different, values can be different, employment can be different, traditions can be different, and that's why the states are left individually. This is where I live, and this is the values I want to hold because I live here. So I believe that the states' rights are hugely important. You know, if just to throw one out there, if New Mexico, you know, as far as the laws of the land there are something that I think I'll live in New Mexico because I won't have to worry about this stuff all the time. Or if it's Ohio or whatever it is, go to that state and live if that works best for you. But the point, I mean, there's people vacating California like crazy right now because of, not because of it's because of taxes, it's because of overcrowding, it's because of all these crazy things that have been enacted, and they're vacating the state like crazy and flooding into other states. So that's because they like what's going on in other states. So I think to take it, they never made it. When they overturned it, they just said, we're overturning it as a federal law. This needs to go back to the states. And I think it's the best thing they could have done. Because what that does, that opens the door for Ohioans to make a decision. And if Ohioans make a decision to change this law, in my opinion, shame on them. But the Ohioans made that decision, and they've got to live with that decision regardless of what the outcome is.
Well, and the interesting thing, as I've been out listening to other people, another one of the things that I do hear from people who, again, I know we'll probably vote yes on this, but would never have one themselves, is that they do not want to see people thrown in jail for doing it.
Thrown in jail for doing an abortion?
If it was made illegal.
Okay. You mean for having one?
Both ways.
It'll never happen. Even if it's made illegal, they're not going to throw people in jail for having it. That's another old tale. That even when people were having them before it was legal, you know, they weren't. And besides that, if you really want an abortion, there's plenty of states you can go directly to. They'll be advertising with big lights, just like Colorado did with marijuana. Come to Colorado and buy your dope.
Well, I think marijuana is a great comparison on this point, because we obviously are going to vote on that on Tuesday, and that's looking to pass with over 60% of the vote. But you know what? Clearly, people do marijuana now recreationally. Not all of them are being arrested for it, because you try to keep it hidden, clearly, because you know it is illegal. You're not doing it in front of the sheriff's office. So,
do you know what, though?
But you will be able to do it in front of the sheriff's office if it passes. And I think that's the abortion thing, too, is that, did everybody get arrested? No. But you would no longer be able to legally operate an abortion clinic in Ohio.
So, you know what, let me tell you something. Abortion's a huge, important issue, right? So important it's life-changing, right? Okay, we can go to Pittsburgh. We can go to Pittsburgh to see Motley Crue to a concert. We can go to Cleveland to see the Browns, or to Cincinnati to see the Bengals. We can go to Indianapolis to some concert. But we can't drive over the border to get an abortion? You know, this is a dumb argument. I mean, it really is.
Well, that's a question I have always had. Why is abortion a big issue? It affects less than 10% of the population, maybe less than that. And yet, I have to know, as a society, we have to know every political person's stance on abortion. We have to know it.
I'll tell you why, because for many of us, abortion is such a strong gut moral issue.
I think that's why it is a big issue.
It's the killing of human life. And those of us who are Christians, God, it's very clear in the Bible that God says I knew you before you were formed in the womb. There's no argument there that, as far as the church stance is, there should never be an argument that, you know, God, the life is at conception. You're taking a life that you don't have the permission or the right to take.
And I think that's why it is a big issue.
It is a huge issue. And there's going to be people that say, I don't buy into that. I don't care. I don't care how viable that baby is. I don't care that it can hear its mother's voice from the womb and comforted by. It's very interesting. I just had a great-granddaughter born, and she's precious. But coming out of just being born, she'd get real quiet when she heard daddy's voice. Or when she hear mom's voice, because she heard it when she was in there all the time. That's a child in there. It doesn't deserve to have its head cut off.
And I think that is why it would be very hard to have an abortion or ever counsel anybody to have one.
I think it would too, and I don't see how, as a moral people, we can do that. I mean, there's so many other options. I mean, the people, right? What time is it?
We got about 6 minutes.
Do you know the people, how hard it is to adopt a child right now? People are getting them out of Russia, out of China, out of anywhere they can get them, because we can't get them in the United States because the court systems have made it so hard. And do you know, want to know why it's so hard to get them in the United States? The reason it's so hard is because the abortion lobbyists want to make it hard so it's an excuse that there's no place for these babies to go. And I think that's pathetic.
Well, I think overall, if we got rid of the lobbyists, a lot of laws would change in this country. A lot of rules would change.
I mean,
pharmaceutical, gun lobby, abortion lobby. There's a lot of things that would change if that money stopped flowing into people's wallets.
You know what? Let me tell you something. From the very founding of every country in the world, money talks.
It does, and that's money. That's an unfortunate thing.
And it's a shame because that goes back to our basic morality. Are you going to vote your conscience, or are you going to vote what's good for you? And, you know, to the argument that people don't want to be told what to do, I guess then they don't want to be told any laws what to do. I mean, all of our laws tell you what to do. I mean, I can't make a decision tomorrow that I think that paying the IRS is illegal, it's immoral, and I'm not paying my taxes. I will go to jail.
Well, it's very interesting, because this is an important point to make. Federal law supersedes state law.
Right.
Okay. So when the federal law was taken away with abortion, that's why we get what we get. But much like anything else, federal law, the IRS is a federal law. So the state could put it on the ballot and vote. This state is not paying income tax. We're not paying federal tax anymore. Doesn't mean a darn thing. You can pass it all day long because federal law supersedes state law.
They're going to block all the federal funds coming to your state. It's going to be a mess, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
So I think that's what's – and also what's interesting about Tuesday, and it hadn't happened yet. Who knows what's going to happen? But if it does pass, if either of these issues pass or both of them, it was done by the people.
Well, you know what I think what I would hope would happen if this does pass? And this is one time I'll say federal law could trump it. Is that people find out in the next few years just how barbaric this has become nationwide, and the federal does take it back up again and say, we're not doing that in this country. But honestly, I think we're on such a moral slippery slope in this country that I don't see people doing that. I cannot believe, I'll go back to the fact that we're allowing human trafficking go on at an unprecedented rate. Children being taken and marketed all through this country. Interestingly enough, you may not know this, Matt, that Toledo, Ohio is the crossroads of the human trafficking in the United States. Did you know that?
I did not, but it doesn't surprise me.
You know what's very interesting?
Take a north-south line and you'll run through Toledo.
You know what's interesting about this whole thing, though, in the end is, because we talked about money and why is this going to happen and by the people and federal law and all these things, but what's very interesting is when you look at the politicians who do take moral standards on abortion for a long, long time. Now, whether they were, I guess I shouldn't say moral, they took an opinion on it. They took a stance. All of a sudden, unless they aren't up for re-election or going to ever again be up for re-election, you don't see many of these politicians out there saying, I'm against that.
Shame on them. It's about money and their own power.
There you go.
They've got drunk on their own power.
Much like most things.
They get drunk on their own power.
I mean, you see Governor DeWine. Where are the other politicians who have big names in this state that are Republican who have said that they're pro-life in ads? Haven't seen a one.
No, but you know, I've never been a huge, huge DeWine fan, but I applaud him for his courage. Whether you agree with him or not, I applaud him for his courage.
I hate to, and well, let me ask you this, and I won't make the statement, but if DeWine, because DeWine can't be elected again, two terms and he's out, and he's got re-elected for his second term. If he had another term to go, do you think he would be making these commercials?
Yeah, because I think he's at a point in his life that his legacy is more important than his power.
Could be. He got hit so hard on things where people say, well, I mean, I got an email yesterday from the Renacci people banging on Mike DeWine for not being a real conservative.
Yeah, so there you go.
There you go. That's why people don't do it.
Hey, you know, I'd love to see you guys at 209 East Water Street in Prospect Sunday morning for church at Community Christian Fellowship. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week.
With about a minute left to go, we do want to let people know this show can be heard every Friday morning, 9:15 to 10 a.m. It's always a fascinating discussion. We don't rehearse it or talk about what we're going to talk about. We just sit down and talk about it. And I do think the election next week is going to bring a lot of interesting topic, because normally we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about races between political figures, but that's not what's going to happen on Tuesday. Issue 1 and Issue 2 are state issues that will change law in this state forever. They're constitutional amendments, and they are over two big things that have been talked about for quite some time.
Well, I pray that after everybody goes to the polls and have done what they've done, that the next morning, wherever they're at and whatever they voted, they can sleep well.
And with 10 seconds to go, again, go to the website, wwgh1071.com, to check out the repeats of this program and all other programming on this station. Final word?
God bless you guys. Love you all.
For guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you, how do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you